Praise the Lord, God Almighty, the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. Praise He who shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, whose love transcends the grave and life. Praise He who abundantly blesses, who established the ocean in His might, the mountains and the seas and the valleys. He that gives wisdom to the wise, gives understanding to the prudent. He that gives strength to the strong, establishes kingdoms and breaks it down. Praise the Lord who never dies, the immortal, invisible God. We bless you, O Lord. We bless you, O Lord. We bless you. Thank you. Who is like unto thee? Give Him that praise and worship this morning. Amongst all the gods, who is like thee, God? Your glorious holiness and fearful in praises, doing wonders, hallelujah, always doing wonders, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, New Covenant Church. Who else, what else do we have to say? Who do we have to worship except God? Why are you here? Why are you here? Think about it. I know coming to church on Sunday is something to do, but seriously, why? I'm not saying why are we here. I think we all know why we're here. I want it to be a personal question. Why are you spending these precious few hours on Sunday morning in this place if God will not touch you? I'm always touched by the story of the man Jacob. And you think about it, what the significance. I actually challenge all of you to think about the significance of every Old Testament story. Every story in the Bible has a purpose and a significance. Why would the Bible tell us the story of a man who wrestled with an angel all night long and said, I'm not going to let you go unless you touch me. I am not going to. Who really can fight with an angel? There's a reason why that. I don't think whatever gene broke Sister Kemi's knee, you can go there all year long, you still can't get the power to fight an angel. I don't know what she was beating up Mozu for, but certainly I don't think it was to fight angel, because you can't fight an angel. It's not possible. The book of Revelation shows us that a single angel can destroy the whole of New York City. A sister of mine had a vision of the end times, and I believe it. You know the sister I'm talking about. Well, okay. Oh, you do. You will. She would have told you the story as well. I believe it. I'm very skeptical about dreams and visions because there are a lot of them. And you really have to pray that the Lord will show you the right one. But she was giving me this testimony. The Spirit testified within my spirit that it's true. She said, behold, that she was sleeping on her bed and she felt a very light touch on her toes, like a very feathery touch. And she woke up. And this sister of mine had been through incredible health challenges. Incredible health challenges. Name it. Leukemia, survivor. Heart issues, survivor. She was carrying her kidney or whatever her heart in her hands at some point. There's a point that if she sneezed too much, she would die. Incredible. Like Sister Stacy, always smiling. You wouldn't know. And she told me, and we used to do Bible studies together, and she was the most stubborn Bible studier. Stubborn. Skeptical about everything. And gradually, she became more and more quiet, and then she became a teacher of the word. Amazing. And then, she told me this story. She said it was like a feather And a man said to her, wake up, I want to show you something. And I'm not going to bore you with the details. The part that got me, every time you tell me something, I don't care whether you are a GEO, I don't care whether you are a prophetess. My wife knows that. I'm very skeptical because I know there's a lot of false prophecy. So I'm always looking for a confirmation in the Word of God to confirm everything. A lot are true, but I need to know because, you know. She said to me, and the part that got me was that she saw a place like New York, like Manhattan, a big city. And she had a trumpet and there was an angel. She said to me, Wale, I thought angels were, you know, like men or like feathers, like that they'll have their feathers and you'll be able to chat with them like we see them in the Bible, or they'll come as a man. She said, I saw an end time angel. I may have to tell everybody to come here, but I'm not going to. I'm just saying I may have to. I'm not going to. She said, this angel was huge. She said she had one, she, I don't know, did I say she or angel? What pronoun? What gender? Whatever they. He said he had 1 foot on one bank of the Hudson and the other foot on the other bank, and he was bigger than the Statue of Liberty. He said when the winds go, that the skyscrapers shook. And she got my attention there because I remember I read Revelation and the power of the angel. She said, God is powerful. He said, all the sheep, everything on the Hudson would just move just by flap, no shooting, no. The angel has not even shot the heavenly cannon yet. Just. I started listening to her. I'm there because I just want to say the Lord is great. The Lord who loved us is great. He is powerful. Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness? What have you seen? You've seen all of those USS Roosevelt, USS Eisenhower, all those battleships, and you've been awesome. On the day when the Lord will reveal the army of the host, and the captain of the host appears, oh, 1 John 3, then we will appear with him. Why are you here? I pray that you are here to touch the hem of his garment this morning. I pray the Lord will speak to us. As we're bringing to a close our series on being born again, we've had a series this year on discipleship. It was made clear to us the responsibility of discipleship, the call for our day. We've had a series this year of worship, the essence, the importance, the secret, the revelations, the signs of worship was made manifest, the source of worship itself to us, all of these means of grace. And then we've been talking about another one, that we must be born again. And we're asking ourselves, are you born again? How do you know you're born again? What does it mean to be born again? These are all fundamental Christian teachings that all of us that were sitting here, Jesus will want us to know about it. And we're closing in on that. Today, I just want to focus on one aspect of that. A very important charge by our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus, who himself was an extreme sufferer, how does the book of Isaiah describe the Lord as it relates to suffering? Anybody? The man of what? Acquainted with grief. The word acquainted is so appropriate for those of you who like language. I don't know if there's any other English word that appropriately describes being intimate with something, acquainted with grief. He himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, he went through this with great hope. And he brings that hope to all of us. He died. He was slain. He was abused. He wasn't popular. Jesus was not famous. In his days, his people rejected him. They ridiculed him. The intellectuals said, Who is this an ordinary carpenter boy? He had not studied at the foot of Gamaliel. Why would you listen to him? He's unlearned. He's not even from New York. He's not from LA. He's from a little place, a town. Does anything good ever come from the town that this person comes from? And the stone that was rejected today has become the head of the corner. The name above all names, the Prince of Peace. But we're writing this up because I want to say that the story is just in the middle. Jesus is coming. We haven't even seen the glory of this race yet. We're right in the middle of this narrative, brothers and sisters. We have not seen the end, the accumulation of our faith yet. Everything we've received so far is a token, and we have received only in hope. All the saints of God from the beginning of age, they are looking forward to a time when the real enjoyment will start. Nothing you've accomplished on earth so far. I don't care whether you have the money of Jeff Bezos or whatever his name is, or the fame of Michael Jackson, or the power of Hulk Hogan. Some of you don't know who Hulk Hogan is. Yeah. Don't worry. I don't know who your own hero in your own time is. It was Hulk Hogan. Or Hamish, Hotshot. Anyway. I don't care whether you have the royalty of King Charles. He didn't take another name, right? It's Charles. What is about to happen to us because of our faith in Jesus more than compensates for any experience that God has given you? Many of the saints of the Lord have slept in hope. And the Lord is, Jesus is telling us, just hold on, just abide in me, which is the topic for today. Let's go to John 15 again. I'm going to read it. It's been read to us this morning. Maya read it. The Lord wanting you to know, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to you sitting here, and let as many as have ears hear what the Spirit is saying to his church this morning. I challenge you to please just remove your thought and hear what the Lord that knows your soul is saying to you. Say, behold, I am the true vine. My Father dresses the vine. Every branch that's in me that is not fruitful, my Father will take away. And the branches that bear fruit, the purpose of God right now is that God is not even done with you too. His plan is to put you through experiences and prune you so that you will bear what? More fruit. Until the day we rest with Jesus, there's no rest. The Bible says, therefore, there remaineth a rest for what? The people of God. Don't settle. Jesus is coming. Don't rest. The end is not now. The race is on. Many have stopped abiding. Many have stopped. Many have made the earth their rest place. No matter what, nothing can be compared to the compensation of your faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Lord said, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Therefore, you're born again. Therefore, abide in me. And this is what we want to talk about today. Because many have grown tired. Oh, I'm tired of this Christian work. It's too restrictive. It's the same thing all the time. The Lord has been gone for so long. People have been saying he's coming. He hasn't come all of these years. It's been 2,000 years. He's never going to come back. Some who started have stopped abiding in Jesus Christ. But Christ says, abide in me. You are a branch. Verse 4. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself
Unless you abide in the unless it abides in the vine, unless you abide in me, you also cannot bear fruit. Who knows what Jesus is talking about here? But I won't preach a lot. Who is able to tell us what Christ is saying here? In non-theological, simple 2023 American English.
Hi. I think Jesus is talking about, so earlier also in the New Testament, he talked about making disciples out of other people and other nations. So I think he's talking about bringing more souls to Christ.
That's what we would think, right? I think that's part of it, but I don't think that's the main thing. Unless you abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. That's part of it. But, you know, we really can't bring anybody to Christ, you know. That's only God can. And he wants to use us to do that. What the Lord means there is a lot more basic than that. How many of you remember your first month when you got born again? You guys don't remember your first month of faith? Up, up, raise your hands. Let's see, hands in the sky. Let's do it. Let's raise your hands. Ooh, ooh, raise your hand. How many of you got born again more than 20 years ago? 30 years ago? 40 years ago? 50 years ago? Sorry, I'm always looking for no. I'm always looking for. How many of us got born again about 10 years ago? Within, how did you feel when Jesus discovered you? Who can describe that? How many of us are born again? Up, up, up. How did you feel on that day when you met Jesus? Thank you very much. What other words? You are fired up. Okay? A zeal. Excited. Are you still like that? Abide in me and let my word abide. Unless you convert and you receive the kingdom as a little child. Unless you convert and be like a little child, you will not see the kingdom of God. Abide in me. Jesus is not asking us to do anything special. He's saying that simplicity of faith, that trust, that zeal. In those days, when someone insulted you because Jesus was born in your heart, because of Jesus, abide in him. You will not insult the person back. Jesus is saying, he was telling his disciples, don't lose anything that I've given to you. As you have received the faith, remain in it. You are never going to have a higher doctrine than the doctrine of salvation. Some of us started with salvation. Now we've gone into 10 principles. We've gone into revelations and high heavens. Some of us started with the Sermon on the Mount. Now we are reading big books. Some of us started with simple truths. Jesus died for me. Good news, good news. Christ died for me, right? Good news, good news. If I believe, good news, good news, I'll live eternity eternally. Such wonderful, perfect good news. That was enough for us. But now, it's not good news unless you have $1,000 that you're asking for. It's now about other things. But Jesus is saying to his disciples, abide in me. Let me be the primary person. Some of us will talk about Jesus everywhere. Now, we find ways to get to the topic. Jesus is telling all of us, abide in me. Paul wrote to one of the churches in Corinthians. He said, what happened to you, folks? There was a time that you could almost pluck out your right eye for me. What happened? Have I loved you more only for you to love me less? Abide in me. You are now born again. You are clean by the words that I've spoken to you. Abide in it. Don't let anybody remove you from that simplicity. Be a child in the hands of Jesus. You cannot. I always say the greatest promotion you ever have in life or in faith is to be a child of God. It can't get better than that. The greatest miracle will be one day, even though your atama may perish, you'll be, whether we like it or not, we're all going down to the grave one day. It's just time difference. It's just time. I remember I used to look at Brother Bumi like he's old, because he really is. But now I'm getting there. It's just time. Listen, Ade Deshola, sorry, I have to keep, well, Tenny is not here, so it has to be on you. And you too, I took you and your sister, where's Toby? I took you to see Monsters, Inc. You guys were like little kids. You don't remember that, right? Yeah. When Monsters, Inc. came out, just go and Google the year. I took you to the cinema to see Monsters. Look at you, such a lady, finishing her master's degree. Listen, we are all going to die. What happens? We're so preoccupied with this side, we're not prepared for a time that never ends. Abide in me. Jesus says, remain in me. Don't sell me for 30 pieces of silver. Don't sell me for your career. Don't sell me for anything. Abide in me. In those days, they used to tell us as children, when we got, well, I wasn't listening then, but when we first got born again, they would say, listen, you need quiet time. Can you grow in Jesus and you no longer need quiet time? Abide in me. Paul will write to the churches. He said, the things that you have seen of me, learned of me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. There's no greater theology than that. Jesus is saying, abide in me. Let your lips be filled with Jesus' love. Repeat to yourself every day, I love Jesus. Listen, it's not a Sunday. It's Satan that made it a Sunday school rhyme. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He is my... Every 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old, 90-year-old... Grandma, you will get there in Jesus' name. 100-year-old should be singing that. Should be singing that. Every morning sing, I love Jesus. He is my friend. Which one of us don't need Jesus as our friend? But we've grown complex. We want to study the Romans. We want the big book by Jeremiah. They always have big Jerusalem names. Abide in me and let my word abide in you. But Christ keeps saying this. It says, I want you to bear fruit. That's why a lot of Christians no longer bear fruit, because we are no longer abiding in him. We are not the way Jesus called us. We no longer love him. And Jesus is saying, love me. Listen to me. Many of us are so interested in telling God what to do. We're not interested in hearing what he wants us to do. God taught me one day, he said, which one is more important? What you want to say to me or what I want to say to you? And I had to go, Lord, what you have to say to me is more important. Because there are many things that I think are good for me, but they are not. He said, listen to me, although you are born again. If you do not abide to me, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, here's what will happen to him. I'm going to cast him out as a branch. And he's cast out and he's withered. And they gather them and throw them into fire and they are burned. Is this true? But they tell us, Jesus will never cast you out. Don't they tell you that? He's so loving, so gentle, he can never, 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 never cast you out. He said, listen, people, I don't want to do this, but if you do not abide in me, you will be cast out. We don't want to be cast out. Then he went, just so, because he wants to make this clear. And this is why it's so important to live in the Word of God. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you see that? When you abide in Jesus, what will abide in you? The Word of the Lord. When you get home, read John 15. I'm going to end there. There are so many Christians not abiding in Jesus. Listen, be there, done that. My fifth decade. Built homes, born kids, married wives. Been there. Bought cars, got old, bought another one, got old, fed up. Flown. Not private jet yet. But I think I was, what do you call it? When they bump you to the ticket you didn't buy. What's the word? Upgrade, no? But yeah. I know what, I used to say, when you are not too rich, they say, we are flying in the same, after all, we get there at the same time. I don't know why people waste all this money in this thing. We get there in the same place, the same plane. No. And I used to say, remember mine, it wasn't the Sonata, the Accord, the Honda Accord. I used to say, it's a car after all. Why would you want to pay all these thousands of dollars on cars, when it will get you from point A to... Then I think I drove a friend's Benz, Mercedes Benz. And I knew, okay, we all drive cars, but we don't get there the same way. But that's fine. We still get there. Praise the Lord. Public transport, we will still get there. That's a digression. Been there, done that. There's nothing like serving Jesus. There's nothing. Don't get distracted. All of this is bling bling. The Bible says that the things that we see are temporal, and they are. Even before our eyes, they are fading away. But the things we do not see, which are the things that Jesus tells us about, they are what? Eternal. The Lord said that for some people, on that day, the Lord will say, you have already received your own comfort on this side of eternity. People have hailed you now. You have enjoyed your own enjoy. See, your name is on every cover. Your name is on the evening news. You walked the red carpet. People sang your praise. Now is Lazarus' time. What time is your time? Are you building for now? Are you building for eternity? These are the words that Jesus is speaking to us. Abide in me. The rest of the world is departing from Jesus. They're parting. They're taking their reward now. But Jesus is saying, abide in me. Don't be discouraged. Hold on to your first confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. Abide. Remind one another. The road is not easy. But abide in Jesus. Be one of those Christians that people look at and they say, you haven't changed. How many of you have people met and they say, wow, you haven't changed? Are you one of those? I remember when you were born again in secondary school. Now I'm meeting you. You're celebrating your 50th birthday. Henny has not changed. I don't know many people. I know you. That's why I'm sorry. I know you like it. Be that person that they say, I knew you when we first got born again. You haven't changed. Are you that? Can Jesus say you're that kind of person? I'll close on this. A story on truth and lie. One day, truth and lie met. And they got talking. Lie, always the talkative one, came up and said, oh, truth is such a wonderful day. Listen, God, glorious day. Everything is beautiful. And truth said, you pretty good, my friend. Yeah, it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day. Wonderful out here today. And I said, yeah. Listen, look at that stream. It's a beautiful stream. Right? It's so clear, so crisp. I say, oh, God is great. Truth said, God is great. It's a beautiful river, wonderful stream to swim in. And Light said, oh, why don't we go for a swim together? Rivers are meant to be swimming. And Truth said, oh, yes, the Lord has made all things for enjoyment. So they both removed their clothes and they jumped in the river. And Truth and Light were swimming together in this beautiful river in a wonderful day made by our wonderful Father. And Lie ever skimming begins to swim very hard. So he keeps swimming and swimming. And soon he was at the end and he jumped out of the river and he went to the cloth that they had left by the riverbank and he took on the cloth of Truth and put it on. And Truth finished his swim and went. And when he went there, behold, the only cloth left was the cloth of a lie. And Truth went, oh, mine, he took my clothes, but I cannot dress in a lie. So Truth went about naked because he no longer had clothes. And everywhere he went, people rejected him because he was naked. We do not like naked Truth, do we? But Lie went about with the cloth of Truth, and many people embraced him. Jesus, we speak the naked truth to you. Let us pray. Prepare us, Father, if need be, break our hearts, whatever it takes. Help us, Father. This morning, I just want to pray for the feeling of your Spirit for all of us and give us a desire to seek you for your Spirit so that, Lord, we may bear fruit and abide in Jesus. Bless us this week. Let none fall sick. But I pray, Lord, that in the midst of a generation that is departing from you, we'll be those who will abide in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.